From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Schumer plays politics with our national security, masks are back in the news, and the House is talking about a continuing resolution. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. And welcome to the last weekend show before the Pray Vote Stand Summit in Washington, D.C. And I want to extend a special invitation to all of our weekend show listeners to join us. You'll hear from outstanding speakers who will build your faith and encourage you to stand for truth in the culture. You can find all the details at PrayVoteStand.org. That's PrayVoteStand.org. On Tuesday of this week, the Secretary of the Navy joined Jake Tapper on CNN's The Lead, and he said this, quote, "I would argue that Tommy Tuberville, what he's actually doing is he's playing Russian roulette with the very lives of our service members by denying them the opportunity to actually have the most experienced combat leaders in those positions to lead them in times of peace and times of combat." End quote. Is that really true? Is the military not ready for combat? Joining FRC President Tony Perkins on Wednesday to talk about that was retired Lieutenant General and FRC's Executive Vice President, Jerry Boykin. Here's how Tony Perkins introduced the topic.
The left continues to attack Senator Tommy Tuberville's stand, not only for life, but for the rule of law, making all sorts of extreme claims, false claims, many of them, while ignoring the simple truth. The situation can be resolved immediately. I mean, overnight, in one of two ways. Either the Senate can hold votes on each of these military promotions that are being held up, or the Biden administration can rescind its unilateral policy that forces taxpayers to fund the travel of service women seeking to have an abortion, a policy that was never submitted to nor approved by Congress. I mean, stop and think for just a moment. Do you really think the left is concerned about national security? Or is it their abortion agenda that's driving them? Well, here with me to discuss this and more is our very own retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who serves as FRC's Executive Vice President. General Boykin spent the last 4 years of his 36 and a half years in the military, serving as the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. He was also, as I mentioned earlier, one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. General, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Tony. I'm glad to be with you.
So yesterday on CNN's The Lead with Jake Tapper, the secretaries of the Army, Air Force, and Navy talked about the military holds. Presently, I think we're a little over 300, and that this is crippling the military. What do you make of these claims by these military secretaries?
Yeah, first of all, I talked to Senator Tuberville yesterday, and that man is a strong man, and he is he'll go the distance in this fight. But this is the biggest hypocrisy that I have seen coming out of the Department of Defense, because where were these people that care so much about their soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines when they were putting over 8,000 of them out of the military because they wouldn't take a jab that was something that they objected to in many cases on religious grounds? And now we can see, because the president's wife has COVID, and she's been vaccinated twice and boosted twice, and she still has COVID. And this is hypocritical, very hypocritical, about how much they care about the welfare of our young men and women that serve in this nation's military and their spouses and families. They didn't care about them when they were putting them out and not worrying about what their future was going to be, but they are concerned now with these senior officers not being able to get out of the military and go chase the $1 million that they will get for sitting on boards.
I want to play another clip from Secretary Del Toro, Navy Secretary. Play clip number two.
And I would argue that Tommy Tuberville, what he's actually doing is he's playing Russian roulette with the very lives of our service members by denying them the opportunity to actually have the most experienced combat leaders in those positions to lead them in times of peace and in times of combat.
Your response, General.
Well, the guy just told me that that our military has not been ready. We haven't had the very best that we could put into the jobs that they're trying to fill now. So what is that? This guy, he's either not very smart or he thinks that we're not very smart. But what he just said was our military is not ready. And the fact of the matter is they would never say that to the public were it not for a situation like this where they're trying to gain an advantage to be able to do something that is illegal and unconstitutional to begin with.
You know, it's interesting the selective amnesia that the media has on this topic, because they're running around talking about how this is historic and how basically Senator Tuberville is single-handedly taking our military hostage. And the media does a report that many Democrats through history have held up military promotions. In fact, during the Trump administration, Democratic Senator Tammy Duckworth, she put a hold on over 1,100 military promotions. We're talking about 300 that have been held up. This has been done before. This is a part of our process in the United States Senate.
That's correct. And it has been done before. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. And what we also need to realize is that they're putting people into these positions that are being vacated because most of these people are going to retire, the ones that are leaving this role. But they need to recognize that these people that are coming into these jobs are in most cases no better than the people that are leaving those jobs. And they don't have to put these people that are on this list in these jobs until they can sort this stuff out. And if they say to us one more time, this is hurting our readiness, then as far as I'm concerned, the administration and the Armed Services Committees should be taking a really close look at why our readiness is being hurt by leaving someone in a job who has been there, has been commanding, and we would presume successfully. And now all of a sudden, because they've got something on their agenda that they want to accomplish, we're hurting readiness. That is simply not the truth.
It seems like they would be more qualified having been in that position for a while. Let's talk very quickly. We've got 2 minutes left on the resolution to this. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that position, the current occupant, expires at the end of this month. And Air Force General Brown as the pick. The Democrats are afraid to move forward with him. They could do it. They could put his nomination on the floor and they could vote for him. That can be done. But they're afraid to set a precedent because then it would pull back the curtain and show the American people they actually could approve all of these promotions if they'd simply took the time and voted for them on the floor.
That's right. It's a political thing. And I think, as you said earlier, and it's coming right during an election year and that we're building up to an election next year. And this is a political ploy, is all this is. And I tell you that if they think that Senator Tuberville is going to back away from this thing now and give them what they want, he is not, I can assure you.
Well, we're going to continue to stand with him because he's standing for the rule of law and he's standing for the unborn. General Jerry Boykin, always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go away. Coming up, the Biden administration is preparing for the next strain of COVID. And I've named it. It's the election variant of COVID. It's amazing how it just kind of pops up in election time. We can, we can call for masks, probably going to have shutdowns. And of course, we're going to have to change the way we vote to accommodate. All right, we're going to talk about this coming up next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
In recent years, Christians have seen an accelerated assault on not just our core beliefs, but their very foundation. Now is the time to build on that foundation, strengthen our faith, and learn how to translate our beliefs into actions that engage the culture around us. That's the purpose behind this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit, Believe and Engage. Pray Vote Stand Summit is a national gathering of spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives, or SageCons. We'll hear from Christian leaders, worldview experts, government officials, and more. We'll discuss important issues like the sanctity of life, religious freedom, protecting students, strengthening families, praying for our nation, and how you can impact America's future from a biblical worldview. Together, we can believe and engage. Join us September 15th through 17th in Washington, D.C. for this pivotal event. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. Be sure and check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, information about the upcoming Pray Vote Stand Summit. During the pandemic, the Biden administration was repeatedly claiming that it was following the science and listening to the experts. But looking back, it's clear that they really got a lot of things wrong. And it doesn't look like they were following the science, maybe science fiction. They ignored the data. And in fact, there's now evidence emerging continually that they kept data out of the public eye that did not meet with their narrative. Well, now the Biden administration is looking to bring back masks and jabs as the what I call the election variant of COVID is now emerging. Even though we know all of these things were ineffective and unnecessary. So has this administration learned anything from its missteps during the last pandemic? Has the medical community learned anything? Well, here to discuss this is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. He's a professor of medicine at Stanford University. He's also one of the authors of the Great Barrington Declaration, which advocated for an alternative approach to COVID at the very beginning and was criticized by the left. Of course, he and others have since been vindicated. Dr. Bhattacharya, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
So let me just start with this question. Have we learned anything from what we did last time?
I mean, I would love to answer yes, we have. But unfortunately, it just seems like we are trying to make the same mistakes again. I think with mask mandates, with essentially recommending boosters before we actually have high-quality randomized data, ignoring the fact that the population has very broadly has quite a bit of immunity thanks to recovery from COVID. And, we just basically we're like, so, and I hear we're closing, some schools have been closed again. I think that the idea that what failed before will work now is an amazing thing to me. Science normally learns from its mistakes. In fact, that's how science actually works, is you make a mistake and you change your hypothesis and then you test that next hypothesis. Here what we see is the opposite of that. It seems like we're just doomed to repeat ourselves over and over again, Tony.
With all of the money that the government has, all of the studies that they do, have there been any studies that have gone back and looked at the effectiveness of masks, the vaccines, the shutdowns? I mean, have we really analyzed this to look at what would be the best practices going forward in the future for the next pandemic?
That is absolutely vital. There have been some studies. So, for instance, on masks, there actually have been a dozen high quality randomized studies before the pandemic and several during the pandemic that tested whether mask mandates and masking works. They failed to find evidence that it does. On lockdowns, there's, again, dozens and dozens of studies comparing places like Sweden, which did well, quite well without the lockdowns, versus other places, and concluded that there really isn't a purpose for the lockdowns that we followed. School closures, again, But what hasn't happened is an official inquiry, kind of like a 9/11 commission or what happens after any plane crash, right? You have the NTSB come in and do an analysis. The goal isn't to like blame anybody. The goal is to like, learn lessons from what went wrong so we don't do it again. I wrote something called the Norfolk Group document along with seven other scientists where we lay out an agenda for an honest COVID commission, 80 pages of questions that I think really deserve answers on vaccine efficacy and side effects, on mask efficacy, on lockdowns, lockdown harms, school closures, why immunity after COVID recovery with natural immunity was ignored. All these questions I think that people deserve an answer to. And yet there doesn't seem to be any official interest on the part of the Biden administration to actually conduct such an inquiry.
My recommendation would be that I don't care who's in charge, whether Republicans or Democrats, that is a good idea because I think one of the things that suffered the most is the trust in government, given what has happened. And now the evidence that continues to come forward, just reading an article from Epoch Times about analysis of vaccinated seniors and how their cases soared in 2021. The CDC, the FDA had this information, but they hid it from the public. This was a government study conducted by the military. They're hiding information. You were silenced. I mean, there's now evidence in a court case that you were targeted in social media to be silenced. I mean, the government has lost trust. The American people have lost trust in government.
I mean, that story is really shocking, Tony, because what that story says is that the CDC had information from an analysis of Medicare data, which is Medicare's, the insurance program that covers elderly in the United States, that the vaccine was waning in efficacy in September 2021. That meant that there were a large number of seniors that were relatively unprotected by the Delta wave that was hitting the South back then in 2021. It was right around that same time the Biden administration pulled the allocation of monoclonal antibodies to the American South, claiming that they wanted to save it for later. A lot of people died as a consequence of that hidden information. If the CDC had shared that information more broadly, then we might have been able to protect those older people during that deadly Delta wave. It's funny because even the FDA, there was an email in that that came out where the FDA itself was blindsided by that CDC data. They were shocked that the CDC hadn't shared those data with them, that the Biden administration hadn't made this available more broadly. And the reason was very simple. They thought that if they told people, people would stop taking up the vaccine. But data like that, scientific data like that, are a public good. You don't use it for propaganda purposes. You use it to tell people true things and so that people can make good decisions. And that was a major failure, I think, during the pandemic.
A lack of trust, I think, going forward. I mean, there's a lot of things I listened to going into that first pandemic that I won't this time. And I think there's a lot of Americans that would say the same thing. Final question for you, Dr. Bhattacharya. So what's the best prevention for this election variant of COVID?
I think for most people, just live your life. I think that COVID, because people have immunity. I mean, immunity is honest to God, real thing. You should just live your life and don't worry so much. Now, if you are older and you have or vulnerable in other ways, go talk to your doctor. There are better treatments now available. The vaccine might be necessary. I wish there were better data in order to guide doctors around this. But the point is that we should not be treating COVID as something around which we reorganize our entire life.
Right.
We should
right.
instead be treating COVID as something that's manageable, and we should do that.
Just like the flu. We've got to continue to live our lives. Good recommendation there, Doc. Great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, Dr. Andy Harris joins us. We're going to talk a little bit more about this election variant and the budget. That's next.
Now more than ever, Christians need to be prepared to articulate the truth of God's word to our culture in an informed and loving manner. That is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview exists. By applying the Bible and the historical teachings of the Church to a wide range of relevant issues, including voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, sexuality, and more, the experts at the Center have provided resources to help Christians live by a biblical worldview. to understand why Scripture must be authoritative, and to equip believers to advance and defend the faith in the workplace, in schools, in their communities, and in the public square. Access free resources like the Biblical Worldview series at frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work of the Worldview Fellows, including their latest blogs, op-eds, interviews, and more, sign up for the Center for Biblical Worldview's newsletter at frc.org/subscriptions.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. The website is tonyperkins.com. Again, the Pray Vote Stand Summit is coming up September the 15th through the 17th, right around the corner, weekend after next. There's still room for you, but you need to register quick because it's filling up. Go to prayvotestand.org. All right, as we were discussing in the last segment, there's a new variant of COVID. It's, I've named it the election variant. It just, you know, so timely. It just popped up in time for mask, for new vaccines. I'm sure it's going to be shutdowns, as we were talking about. And I'm sure voting boxes. I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's just so handy. Well, joining me now to talk about this and much more, Congressman Andy Harris, a member of the GOP Doctors Caucus, the House Freedom Caucus, and the Appropriations Committee. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Maryland. Dr. Harris, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. But before I get into this election variant of COVID, the latest variant, Maryland, they're actually public schools there reinstating COVID mask requirements. This is crazy. Did we not learn anything from the last pandemic?
You're absolutely right. There's no question about that. Yeah, Montgomery County, one of the counties that's suburban Washington, D.C., go figure, part of it inside the Beltway, has reinstituted mask mandates. And it's crazy because, again, we learned a lot from the last pandemic. And one of the things we learned was that children actually, unless you're immunocompromised or otherwise really unhealthy, they aren't affected that much by COVID. And they lose social learning. They lose a lot of things by wearing masks. We should have learned, you know, shame on those administrators.
I mean, when we look, I was just talking with Dr. Bhattacharya about this and about the mask, about the vaccines mandates, you know, all of this stuff that we saw last time. We see the government moving toward the same thing. Should we be concerned that this could be used to manipulate the outcome of the election?
Oh, there's no question we should be concerned because the science just doesn't back up any of this right now. Again, we learned a lot from the pandemic, and everything we learned points to the fact that we way overdid it last time. And we should question any time they try to bring back mandates, bring back booster shots. You know, Jill Biden, despite having booster shots, got infected. I mean, the bottom line is we learned a lot. Shame on us if we let this happen again.
I am with you 100%. Let me switch gears here very quickly before we run out of time. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has indicated the House is likely to pass a continuing resolution. We're not going to get the appropriations bills through, but there are Republicans who have already expressed opposition to this. And the conservatives are saying, look, we're not going to continue business as usual. What do you think is going to be the outcome here?
Well, Tony, I hope the outcome is that we attach some very meaningful policy change. If we're going to continue for a day the Pelosi, Schumer, Biden budget, which is what a continuing resolution would do, if we're going to continue it for even a day, we should get significant policy concessions, close the border, you know, de-weaponize the Department of Justice, things like that. We have to get something in return for spending, the way overspending and the priorities that are in that Pelosi, Schumer, Biden budget that we would be extending.
But how can Republicans justify continuing a budget that led to the largest deficit ever in a single year when we were not at war or under a national emergency? I mean, we're going to see a $2 $3 trillion deficit. How can Republicans support that?
Tony, it's mind-boggling. I certainly don't support it. It is our greatest threat right now is the fact that we have a president who said he was cutting the deficit, and then he doubled it this year to over $2 trillion. That's an incredible amount of money. It will bankrupt us. It will hurt our seniors. It will result in higher inflation. It will result in even worse economic situation. We have to put a stop to that reckless spending.
All right, Dr. Harris, what do our listeners and viewers need to do?
They need to contact their members of Congress and tell them, look, do not extend that the spending unless you get serious concessions. And when you go to deal with next year's budget, we have to make reasonable, rational cuts to that budget to restore our fiscal sanity in this country. This $2 trillion, again, is just mind-boggling. No one would ever have imagined it, as you say, not in a time of war, not in a time of pandemic. To have a $2 trillion deficit is mind-boggling.
It is, and it'll just continue if we don't stop it now. Dr. Andy Harris, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, you heard it. You heard it yesterday as well. You've got to weigh in on this, folks. This is quite significant, a $2 trillion deficit in FY22-23, all right? The president running around claiming, I've cut the deficit more than any other president. He actually raised it this past year more than any other president. He doubled it. It was a little over a trillion. He's raised it almost another trillion, a $2 trillion deficit. And so a continuing resolution is simply saying, all right, we're going to keep spending at the same levels we're spending into the next year. That's irresponsible. And of course, you've got everybody clamoring, oh, we can't have a government shutdown. And as was explained by Congressman Good, nothing really shuts down. Everything that's essential keeps working. But at some point, we got to get serious about this. So contact your member of Congress, especially if you have a Republican member in the House. They'll be coming back in this next week.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. Don't forget to join us for the Pray Vote Stand Summit in Washington, D.C. next week on September 15th through 17th. All the details are at prayvotestand.org. And I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.